Welcome back, NDL. This is the Outliers show because we're talking G5 today. So I am back. It's your boy, RB. I'm on Vic's turf today, and we're going to talk about the group of five, go into a deep dive. But Sir Vic, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm a little mobile today. I'm probably going to talk about that at the end of the show while I'm mobile, but I'm good.
Yeah. Well, you sound good. We had some audio issues, so we're getting started a little bit later than we hoped. But, man, I know the feedback that I've gotten from the league after that first podcast we put out about the power conferences is, all right, when's the next one? And so I am fortunate enough to get to be back here with you to talk about the little guys. And I don't mean the little guys as in the coaches and players, because those guys are talented, right? We got a lot of talented coaches in the group of five, but I'm excited to talk about some of these smaller schools who will put up some pretty big fights this year, as we've seen in the NDL this past season. So I'm really excited. Let's dive right into it, Vic. We'll go in alphabetical order as we did last time, and we'll start with the American Athletic Conference. This conference in the past couple of years, we've really seen some guys put up some great numbers, but if I'm not mistaken, I don't think we've seen, no, we have once. We've seen a team come out of this conference in the college football playoff. We saw Florida Atlantic last season with Jumper, but I'll let you kind of take the floor to start, Vic. What do you see out of the American Athletic Conference, and who do you want to highlight and talk about to start?
Well, the American Conference in itself is the hardest G5 conference there is. So, you know, it's always tough coming out of there. We had MGR, I think, in season 30, almost make the playoff. And we had Sammy and Pat almost make the playoff in 31. And then we had Jumper make the playoff in 32. So, with the American, the team I want to start with is Memphis with Jokers. Once again, he moves from USF to Memphis. Now, Memphis has a lot of speed, so I expect Jokers to capitalize off that speed, and I expect him to really do big business in the American.
Yeah, I actually should correct myself. It's no longer the American Athletic. It's just the American Conference, as you stated early, with a pretty badass mascot as well, as we all saw a couple weeks ago. But man, I love what you said early. You said, you know, we almost had someone in season 30. We almost had a couple guys in season 31. And then finally, season 32, this conference got that G5 spot, which You would think in real life, you know, it's kind of either the Boise State or this conference that is going to take on that spot. I think Army was kind of in the mix in real life last year. But yeah, those first three or four seasons, call it, I think we all thought that this was where the team was coming from. We thought it was going to be Memphis or Tulane or USF, right? And then right in the last, like, two blocks of the season, these teams all beat up on each other, and someone loses a game or two, and it's like, well, now it's the undefeated team coming out of the Sun Belt, or, you know, obviously this conference did get the team last year, but it just seems to happen every year with some of these best players in this conference. They play each other in the regular season, and they, you know, one beats the other, and then they go to the conference championship game, and then the other one gets the revenge, and they knock each other out of the playoff, which has been very interesting.
Yes, they do knock each other off in the season within conference play, especially those last, like, two blocks. It seems like in the last two blocks every year that everybody in the top four or five plays each other. That's exactly what happened in season 32, where all the top teams played each other, and it was just a process of elimination. Mm-hmm. Which coaches are you looking at in the American that you feel like is going to do, you know, good damage in the American Conference?
Yeah, there's a lot of names that stand out here. I think you already mentioned one of them is Memphis. Looking at the win goal of 9.5 and looking at the schedule and seeing Oklahoma State with D1, seeing LSU with my boy Zach, my buddy, who I know in real life, seeing D. Kane on that schedule, seeing Bear Ass, like, 9.5 wins is going to be really, really hard for Memphis. Now, Jokers is a great player, very skilled. He's familiar with this conference. You know, obviously, that's the one that we start with. But just kind of looking through it, I mean, watch out for Shoddy Mack. Had a nice 9-10 win season last year at Buffalo. And then, you know, I got to talk about D. Kane. I've been able to scrim him a few times. I got him pretty good the first time, but last night he had me. We got DC'd, but, you know, we were tied in a battle at 21. And our teams are very similar in ratings, but he's got that team. He's got a good feel for that team and their skill set. But those are the two, I think, or I guess the three, I should say, that I'm really keeping an eye on.
I've also scrimmaged D. Kane and USF, and yeah, he's got a good thing rolling. That quarterback, Byron Brown, that is a player to watch for the Heisman, maybe in real life as a dark horse, but definitely in the NDL. That is a player to spotlight. Byron Brown, the quarterback from USF, I know D. Kane is going to use him very good.
Yep.
As well, one coach I do want to highlight, two coaches I want to highlight, is Southern Blues. That's Tulane. If West Virginia and another Power Four school I was looking at was taken by the time I picked in the draft, I was definitely going to pick Tulane, but I believe Tulane ended up getting picked before both of those schools. So Tulane is a very talented team. They reloaded in the portal in real life, so the talent speaks for itself in the game.
Yep.
And another coach I want to highlight is old Drew Baca. I feel like this is the year that Drew Baca takes off a little bit. I feel like he's been simmering, and he's been a good coach and, you know, doing everything he needs to do as far as participation-wise and everything like that to keep the team. But I feel like the wins are going to correlate for him this year.
Yeah, the tide's got to turn at some point, right? I don't think I've seen a coach in this league like him play so many close games and lose so many heartbreakers. Like, at some point, that's got to change the other direction. So, no, I like what you said about Tulane. I mean, Sutton, very good player, been around a long time. Tulane was also a team that I was looking at and that was available when I was drafting. However, I looked at their speed, and they had very, very few players on that roster above 90 speed, which I think, as we all know, can be really troubling, especially when you play some bigger opponents. But I actually do play Tulane to open my season. We did schedule out of conference. I go there, and that is a sneaky, tough place to play. I am curious to see as well. I mean, when the roster update comes through here pretty soon, you know, are they going to get that quarterback that was the BYU quarterback who left? I believe he can play this year, at least based on what I read. I could be wrong on that, but yeah, curious to see. I mean, that'd be a massive upgrade than what he has at quarterback, because Retzlaff, I think, is like an 87 or 88 overall quarterback that could really change things for him.
87 overall, and if he can play, then when the update comes out, yeah, that team is totally different after that.
Yeah, and then I think I kind of already mentioned, I'll shout out some dark horses. I think Shoddy Mack is going to be a dark horse here. I'd probably rank him like my fourth or fifth right now. Obviously, you know, we haven't seen everybody play. A lot of things will happen. But I think him and Bear Ass at East Carolina could be, you know, in that conference championship game mix toward the end of the season.
I agree. Shoddy Mack, he was the coach at Buffalo, I believe, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Shoddy Mack, I played him in a few scrims between both games. He's a very good player, very good user, especially with the defense. Mm-hmm. So, with whatever the defense lacks in terms of ratings with Charlotte, he'll be able to make up user-wise.
Yeah, and a couple other things to mention, and we'll move on, but shout-out to Lau coming back. He was in, I believe, season 29 and 30 and then stepped away. And then shout-out to Oracle HCR, longtime veteran of the NDL, back in the league as well. So pretty cool to see. We'll go on. We'll move on to Conference USA. Really, really fun conference because there's two teams in here that we have never seen in the NDL before. You have the additions of Delaware and Missouri State. Just kind of looking through the list of coaches, it's a good mix of new and old. Speaking of guys who are back, Neil is back in this conference. Miros is back as well. Addy Lopes took a season off and is back in this league. Wave as well, Wave 214. So I think it's really cool. I know some guys had to step away and take some time off, but to see a wave of veterans come back is pretty cool. So, Vic, I'll let you start with the Conference USA. What teams are you liking here, and who are you pinpointing?
I like Coach Addy Lopes at Sam Houston State, my former school. they lost a lot in the portal, and that's why I left. But they do have a quarterback in Hunter Watson. That's going to be the key player for him. And as long as you in the G5, like me and Sam will always say, in the G5, you have key players in a couple of those key positions, that'll take you a long way. And quarterback is definitely one of those key positions. And he does have one in Hunter Watson. So that's a team to look for. Another team I'm looking at is Triple Z at Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky has always been like a bowl eligible team, you know, in real life. And shout out to the former coach, Wasted, good player. Hopefully he comes back. But that team is always dangerous in Conference USA. And another new coach, actually, that I'm interested in seeing is Coach Weasel at Middle Tennessee State. I want to see what he has as a user. He talked a big game when he first came in, and I don't take any losses. I'm sorry to say, you in Conference USA, you're going to take some L's. You're going to definitely take some L's.
Yeah.
It's just how does he respond after taking those L's is what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. No, it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, I can appreciate the confidence and the competitiveness, but this is the NDL, man. People lose games. Even the best players will lose games, as we've seen. So, yeah, very interested to see. Obviously, MT Wasik, Mark, back. The only guy who is back in this conference returning to Liberty. They have a pretty nice schedule conference-wise. So, you know, I'd probably put him as my leader to start the season. You know, I want to see what these newer teams do. And by newer, I mean Missouri State and Delaware. It'll be very fun to see if one of those teams in their first season can catch fire. I think they both have some quality coaches. Both new, well, Kool-Aid, a returner from a break, and then Jose, brand new. But I'm going to say my sleeper in this conference is actually Louisiana Tech, which I believe is your alma mater, Vic. Miros, I believe, had South Alabama a couple seasons ago. It looked really, really good. Yeah, really, really good before he took a break here. So that's going to be the team that I'm keeping an eye on. As far as, you know, who's the favorite, I'm gonna agree with you. I think Addy Lopes might be one of the favorites here. So, and one more thing, Western Kentucky. I did want to mention them. They have an awesome. Well, he's not really skill-wise awesome. His ratings aren't that great. But they have a receiver on that squad that was on my Wisconsin squad last year. He transferred to Western Kentucky. He's a 96 speed, and he can be a terror in the slot. His name's Quincy Burroughs. So I am sure Triple Steez has already noticed that on the roster and probably schemed him a little bit. So that could be a guy that in this conference with the speed, he could really torture some guys in the passing game there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely can torture some guys in the passing game because you don't see too many 95 and above speed guys in Conference USA.
Yeah. And when you do see him, you notice him out there on the field for sure.
Yes. Yes, you do.
All right. Well, let's move along. We'll talk a little bit about the independents because we did not talk about them last show. Obviously, you have the big one. You have Notre Dame. It's kind of weird not to see UMass in this here. It's just down to two independents with UConn and Notre Dame. I mean, we can touch on them real quick. I think we all know Rain is kind of that top 10 type of player in this league. I don't believe he's ever missed a college football playoff yet, or maybe he did one season. I don't quite recall. But yeah, got a great team, great defense. The biggest thing is going to be his quarterback. His quarterback is very low rated compared to what he had last year. I don't know if he's using CJ Carr or Menchie, but
he used Menchie against me in the offseason tournament. So
okay.
I think he may go with him.
Yeah, and again, that's going to probably depend on, you know, say Notre Dame announces their quarterback, which in real life I think will be CJ Carr. But if CJ Carr gets off to a hot start, wins a couple of those big games early, will he get that ratings boost or that ratings bump that may change his mind at some point? Obviously, we'll see what happens over the first few weeks. But I fully expect Rain to be in the conversation for the college football playoff. I haven't looked at a schedule. I know he does have that Miami game loading right now. It looks like BYU and Nebraska to start. Tennessee as well on the schedule. So a lot of quality games, and then Boston College, USC. So this will be a tough schedule for Rain. You know, I think a 10-2 with that schedule could probably get him in. But if you're looking at three losses, that may be tough for the Irish for this season.
And there is a change to the playoff. It's just based off your ranking in the CFP. It's not necessarily automatic qualifiers anymore.
Right.
So if Notre Dame gets a 4 slot, they could get a bye in the quarterfinals and go right into the quarterfinals without playing a first round game.
Yeah, that is right. With that rankings change, it could be a little different. So that is good call out, Vic. Good call out. UConn, we'll talk about them real quick. Coach Dave DiRicchio, he is been at UConn forever. He did get them back after season 29. Has had some really good seasons, you know, usually a 9 or 10 win team. Just the schedule just doesn't really keep him in the conversation for the playoff, but always a team that you're probably going to see in the top 25 because he is one of the better players in this league.
Yeah, they're going to always be up there, and that defense is going to be tough. Once their team that once they get like a big turnover or momentum or anything like that going their way, their badges or their abilities go up, and it's a whole different ball game after that for Notre Dame.
Yep. Okay, we'll move on to the Mid-American Conference. We can't really pick a winner or a dark horse in the Independence because they don't really play against each other, but we'll move on to the MAC, the Mid-American Conference, some MACtion. This one is it's interesting to me, and I say that a lot. I think, oh, this is interesting, or this is going to be a fun one. I say I've had a lot, but I really look at this one, and you see Chip, who just had a big cup win. I think he shut out a pretty good team. His team is way worse than it was last year ratings wise, but I think we all know he knows them better than anybody. It's his team. He's stuck with them now, going into his fourth season. But the other one that I've noticed is starting to turn some heads, and that you've seen the results come through, are Eastern Michigan, with cruising. He's been putting up some really good results and beating some guys that you wouldn't expect. So those are the two that I look off right off the bat that I think are going to be the contenders in this conference. But, Vic, who else do you see in this list of coaches and teams that you're going to keep your eye on?
A team I got to keep an eye on is one person exactly, and that's Coach Corbin Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
He was the second place. He was in the conference championship in the Mountain West in season 30.
Yep.
And so he's a very good coach. Knowing that he has a, you know, less talented team, he knows how to work around that. Another coach is obviously NXT Blue, which went by another name. He's an older coach, veteran of the league, but went by a different name in previous seasons. He's a really good coach. He can use Miami of Ohio in a different way than what they're used to. He has an up-tempo style of offense that he's using. So I feel like anytime you can create an advantage for yourself, then that's going to take you a long way.
Yeah, I feel bad for NTX Blue. I have watched some of his games. I've seen some of his scores. He has sent me some of his scrimmage scores as well. And he has no defense. I don't know if he doesn't know how to play defense well yet or if it's just that bad ratings-wise.
And he'll laugh at me
saying that because we chat from time to time. But, man, some of those scores are crazy. And there's a lot of scoring in these smaller conferences because of that reason, because guys, user, are so good at offense that, you know, defense, you can really only control one guy. And that, you know, it's tough to do with a unit of 10. But on offense, you control the quarterback, the one guy who gets the ball to wherever it needs to go. So it is a little bit of an imbalance there. But back to Corbin Dallas. I mean, yeah, I agree with you, Vic. He took season 32 off, but he's a coach that I'm looking at his Hall of Fame here with his seasons. I mentioned this a long time ago that as a coach, the best way to experience the NDL is to figure out what you like the best and what, you know, kind of where you fit in and what you enjoy. He's a coach that has gone to two power conferences and not had much success, albeit, you know, lesser teams, Michigan State and Arizona. In this game and with some of these players in the power conferences are really tough. 3-9, 5-8, right? Like not the best record, but I know he's a good player. And then he goes and takes Colorado State, goes 9-5, and gets into a conference championship game with them. So just kind of a lesson to anyone listening out there, if you're newer especially, you know, sometimes it's best to just kind of figure out what you enjoy and what you're good at. And you'll notice that some guys stick in the G5 with smaller conferences and lesser teams because that's their strong suit, right? And then you got guys who are the big dogs. They play with the really, you know, top-tier teams, and they're trying to go for a championship. And then you got guys like me and Vic who kind of bounce around, and we enjoy what we enjoy. And, you know, for me, I enjoy being in a power conference, even if I'm a lesser team. Just because it's really fun to compete with the best of the best and see the big conference races. So, yeah, back to the MAC. That was just kind of my two cents on, you know, if you're a new coach, challenge yourself over the first few seasons to just kind of have fun with it and figure out what you like. But any other teams, Vic, you want to talk about? I know you've only talked about three or four so far, but what other coaches do you want to chat about or point out to in the MAC?
Well, you do have Metro D. I believe he is coaching at Western Michigan. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Metro D at Western Michigan. He had a Cinderella run with South Carolina, I believe, in season 30. I want to believe. Season 30.
Yep.
I believe that was him. Yes. And he took a season off in 32. Really couldn't keep up in season 31. He had the medical one in season 30, but season 31 did not translate. So he's back after taking a season off and is at Western Michigan. Western Michigan has an offense. I've played with that team. They have an offense, don't have much of a defense. Like you said, much of these G5 teams don't have a defense. So it'd be interesting to see how he navigates through the conference and everything like that. And to add to your point, it's all about what team fits you most. No matter if it's a G5 team or a Power 4 team, it doesn't matter which one it is. Long as you have a feeling for that team, then it's going to be, you know, fit, as long as they fit your style and your play style and everything like that, you just can't go off name. You just have to go off your play style.
Yeah, I would agree with that. A couple other coaches I want to shout out. South GA, welcome back. And you hit the nail on the head with Metro D, you know, playoff run in the SEC before the SEC kind of turned into the big power it is. It's always a power. You're always going to have some really great coaches in there. But he was able to make a really good run to the CFP And then, you know, Bowling Green got that Fiwi. I don't know what that means, but he has had a nice little run to start, very competitive games. You know, going to keep an eye on him as well. Oh, and then one guy I would be remiss if I didn't talk about is Jay Hubbard. You know, new coach. I've scrimmed him a few times. You know, just here for the right reasons. And he's really active and a really cool dude. So I just wanted to say welcome to the league to him. And I'm glad we found new coaches to come in and really embrace what the NDL is and just kind of be here to like be here for the experience and, you know, hopefully improve, get better, and just have a fun time with this game. So shout out to Jay Hubbard for sure. All right.
Yeah, shout out to Jay Hubbard, of course. Shout out to him.
Moving right along, Mountain West Conference. I mean, man, where do we start with this one? The retirement community, that is what it gets called on the Discord. Crazy that we had, I think, 9 out of 12 coaches return to this conference, which is something you would expect in a conference like the Big Ten or maybe the SEC. But this is just a group of dudes who really enjoy each other and like the chat that they're in, the camaraderie, the togetherness. It's really a sight to see, and this will be really the third season that that's happening. I know last season it really picked up, but a lot of these guys, I think, have been in this conference now for at least 3 seasons. So, Vic, what do you got to say about the Mountain West, or the retirement community, as they call it?
The retirement home, the AARP of the NDL. Well, you do have iRocker at Boise State. He is the mainstay there. I expect him to dominate the conference, actually, because that team is at least 10 points better is rating-wise than the next best team in that conference. So I expect him to dominate that conference. Of course, you have Coach Bierkopf and Coach Wobbles at Colorado State and Fresno State, and you have Coach Jeff Daddy at Hawaii, but a newer coach that chose to go and back into the G5 and will probably challenge or be in the Mountain West title game is Coach Pirate Flag at Nevada.
Yeah, I was a little shocked to see him go Nevada, but then I was also looking at Nevada and I saw that they had like a 2.5 win goal. And so I think that's what his strategy is here. I would agree. I think he's probably the best skilled player in this conference. I think Big Z might have something to say about that. Obviously, IROC. You know, I really, the team I want to see take off this year. And he's had some really good wins in the past couple of seasons. And then, you know, I think he's even had some pretty good conference records as well as Jeff Daddy at Hawaii. I really want to see Hawaii have that season in this conference where they're, you know, top 3, top 4, maybe even scratching the surface for the conference championship. But, Vic, I shit you not, I was going to shock the world and draft San Jose State with my pick at 19. And go to this retirement community, just have fun. Great group of dudes. I'm a veteran. People call me the old man that yells at clouds, even though I'm only 33 years old. And I was going to go to this conference and play and just have fun and get used to the game and enjoy it for what it is. And AK Patrick took my team. I call it my team. Took the team I wanted right before. And I just couldn't quite stomach Nevada. I had played with them a couple times. You know, they were kind of fun, but I was like, I just don't, they don't fit my style. So I didn't really want to go with Nevada. But I didn't think San Jose State would go before me, and they did. So I did not go to this conference. That's enough about me. But I really like Bierkopf as well. I played against him in a scrim, and he has played really sound, mistake-free football the past couple of times I've watched him play. I think with his quarterback on that game and on this team is pretty good. I think he's going to be the guy that I hope is in that conference championship game or up there. So, yeah, those are some of my picks and some of the guys I like. Anything else to mention on this conference or some guys you want to talk about, Vic?
Of course you have Big Z at San Diego State and Black Rain at UNLV, just like IROC, a couple of the mainstays of that conference. Like you said, like you mentioned with Bierkop, he is playing stronger now with that quarterback, like I said about Hunter Watson at Sam Houston State. As long as you got a quarterback, you have a chance, and he definitely has a chance. Coming off that second place finish, but he lost in the tiebreaker to go to the conference championship, but he still finished second in the conference last season. Look for him to gain momentum and get over the hump and possibly be in the conference championship game. And also watch out for old man Wobbles. He has his last name is Luke. He has a running back with the last name Luke. He has 96 speed. And so, like we said about the wide receiver at Western Kentucky, anytime you have speed on the offensive side, you can use that to use. Plus, they have a veteran quarterback and a Kurt Warner's son, EJ Warner. So look for Wobbles to have a strong, you know, season this year. Of course, AK, that's my guy right there. Former Conference USA buddy. He took UTEP to 10 wins, including a bowl win last season. He did take your team in San Jose State. I was San Jose State in season 30, and they are a fun team. They are very fun to play with. So he's definitely going to have fun with that team.
Yeah, I say my team, San Jose State. I have no affiliation or know anything about San Jose State other than it's in San Jose. I do know they
he
have
was
an
just,
absolute.
You very confident. You just yeah. very confident that you was going to be able to pick them. That's what
yeah.
that was.
Yeah. I do know they have an absolute dumpster fire and disaster of an athletic program. They've been through so much crap in the news over the past few years.
They're trying to turn it around, though. Yeah,
are they?
They are
okay.
Trying to turn
they yeah, were in the news for a lot of the wrong reasons over the past few years. But, yeah, I think, you know, we'll go recap at the end and pick the winners. But, yeah, I really like San Diego State, I think, is an obvious one. Boise State, Hawaii, and then Nevada. Will Pirate Flag be able to overcome some of those ratings gaps, especially when playing a team like Boise State or San Diego State? So, yeah, let's go to the Pac-12 conference, the Pac-2. But next season, we did talk about that. We will have the legitimate Pac-12 back with, I think, eight or ten teams, some of which will be coming over. Yeah, which will be coming over from the Mountain West. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic with that changing next season. And then, of course, you'll have some other movers and shakers going into other conferences and things like that. But, man, I really want to start with Doc at Oregon State. Started 3-0 in the Beefy Cup and beating some beating some good players, man, and some quality coaches. The Michigan State game, I think you won on a failed 2-point conversion from CG. I know that one probably stings for him, but I was really close to ranking Oregon State in my top 25 for that reason. You know, I want to see how he starts the season, but yeah, it was really cool to see Doc get off to that good start, and he's got a really good running back on that team. So that's going to be fun to follow. And then obviously you have.
I know they play a heavy Mountain West schedule, but I believe they're fully in the, like, they have a fully independent type schedule this year.
Yeah.
Who are some of the key games for him that you want to spotlight?
Yeah, it's a great thing. I mean, obviously he's got the game against Oregon. That'll be tough no matter what. You know, I'm probably going with Shell on that one. I did forget that this year they didn't have that heavy Mountain West schedule like they did last season. But,
It's fully independent.
Yeah. So I'm looking at, you know, UCLA. That's a good one to get off to a good start. Duquesne playing week three. You know, if he can survive and go 2-2 in that stretch, I think he's got a good chance. He's playing a lot of coaches that are old school guys. You got old KY Shark, Dave, Football Kelly, Dre. I mean, all these guys on his schedule, minus Jay Hubbard, are old, or and Mort, I should say Mort. They are old school coaches. Tough schedule, really tough schedule. I think a 6-6 is possible though with this schedule, which will be pretty good because, you know, a 78 overall team, a 5.5 win goal, That would be a pretty good season, I think, for Oregon State.
I feel like he can go 7-5. I feel like there's a lot of winnable games in the back half of his schedule, not necessarily the front half with UCLA, which is stronger this year, with Nico at quarterback. Of course, Decane is a hell of a player at South Florida, so he's going to have them going. And, of course, the rivalry game, the Civil War with Shell, that's going to be a little rough. But that back half of the schedule, I feel like he's going to get most of his wins on that back half of his schedule.
Yeah, I see it pretty even, but I see where you're going with that, too. The rivalry games will be big, obviously. You know, those are the toughest things for him are going to be Washington State with Lick, who we'll talk about here right now, and then Oregon as well. I mean, those are just not easy rivalry games. You're talking about two teams that are winning 10, 11 games over the last two seasons. So, yeah, Washington State, I'm looking at Lick here. You know, obviously really, really great that he's got his team. I know he is enjoying that. This will be his third season at the helm. But man, two seasons at 10-2 regular season, 11-2 overall. Going to be really fun to see him get after it. I am not looking at his schedule right now, but I guess what are your thoughts on what are your thoughts on Washington State and their schedule?
I think they're going to take a step back. To be honest, they don't have Mateer at quarterback, and like I've been saying the whole pod, if you don't have a quarterback, a just mainstay, senior-led type of guy, then you may be in trouble. Plus, he hasn't really played. He played for like that first week or so when the game came out, but he hasn't really played at all since, especially the last couple of updates. He hasn't played at all because he's been on vacation. You know, go ahead and go on vacation for sure. But it's yet to see what he's going to do, to be actually honest, because he hasn't really played that much. So it's going to be hard to judge. He may stumble out of the block in the first beginning of the season, but then hold it together at the end.
Yeah, I would not be shocked to see 8-9 wins. I think 10 or 11 is asking for a lot. Was definitely in the conversation for potential playoff, but I think there was some schedule issues that the committee might have had last season. But I mean,
I will say this as a committee member last season, if he did not lose that one game to San Diego State, he was definitely a contender to go in.
Yeah, and the season before, I think Purdue as well. That was an early loss that might have set him back. But
Purdue this season.
Yep, and it might have been Outlaw two seasons ago that he played, and he's back at Purdue, but I can't remember. But I'm looking at the schedule, some challenging games against the coaches that I'm seeing, not so much the teams, but fired up Chip, you know, he's like a 71 overall. I think Washington State 77. You know, he's got that rivalry game. That's not actually a rivalry game, but against Sergeant Lingus, which is his nephew. So that's a fun one to always keep an eye on. Yeah, exactly. And then, I mean, Steam as his rival, the Apple Cup, that's going to be tough. Steam is looking good, got some speed, got some good players. You know, I think that was a game the last two seasons that he could bank on as a win with the coaches that were there. And that's no disrespect. I mean, he just was a better player than the coaches that were there. But, you know, that's going to be a tough rivalry one. I don't think Lick will ever lose this team based on how good he is in the overalls and the scores. But, you know, he may lose some rivalry points this year with Steam there. But yeah, that's really all I got on Washington State. Will be fun to follow these two teams, and will be fun to see them in a conference with a legitimate conference next season, I should say.
Yeah, can't wait till the Pack comes back. It's going to be 8 for football and I believe 10 for basketball, but it's glad to have the Pack back next year.
Yep, for sure. So we'll start talking about the last, but certainly not least, conference of the G5, which is the Sun Belt Conference. And if you're a new coach listening, What if I told you the college football playoff representative for the first three seasons last year came out of this conference? Vic, would you believe me?
No, I would not. But being in the NEL the last three seasons, the G5 qualifying spot goes through the Sun Belt. Indeed, it definitely goes through the Sun Belt.
Does, and it is an anomaly that I'm not sure how to explain, other than maybe this is the last, I think, conference that still does divisions. Maybe that's probably part of it. But, yeah, for those who are new and following along with the league, this, for the first three seasons, is where the G5 representative came from. You had Coastal Carolina in season 29 with Chip. You had the Old Dominion Monarchs come through in season 32, I believe it was. No, 31. It was 31. And then I believe you had the Louisiana Raging Cajuns as well in season 30. Was the other team, yes, with Doof who came through. So, yeah, crazy that that has been the case, because I think in real life this is never regarded as a conference that has a team that could be worthy of the college football playoff.
No.
I think this conference is similar where they only have a few returners. I see Randog back at Texas State. You see Ninja Nano, who is back at Louisiana. They're probably the best, one of the best teams in this conference, and then Jason, who is back at James Madison. So I'll turn it over to you, Vic. What are some teams here that you that you're looking at or want to talk about?
As the G5 guy, as the outlier guy, along with Sammy, shout out to Sammy, he's not feeling too well, so that's why we're doing the pod right now. This is the conference that I'm looking forward to the most. There are legit people in this conference that could take the G5 spot in the playoff. That is Dealer at Arkansas State. He has been impressive in the offseason tournament and in a Beefy Cup play. Ninja Nano, they have a talented team at Lafayette, at Louisiana Lafayette. Of course, you have Jason and James Madison. I famously picked him last season to win the conference, but he came close. He came close, but he did not win it. You have my guy Coach Dub at Georgia State. He is a great player. Not a good player. He's a great user and a great player. And I left him off for last because I know he wanted me to mention him. Big Red at Georgia Southern. This is the team to watch. This is the guy to watch. I feel like he is the outside of Dealer at Arkansas State in the West division and the East division. I feel like it's Big Red's to win. I feel like he's got the confidence. He went back down. He went up to a power four in Iowa. Did good in conference. You did beat him at the end to really knock him out of the playoffs. Win or lose if he would have won the conference title game. But he did do well in conference to be in the Big Ten title game. But his out of conference, he went 0-for. So that really knocked him out of any type of playoff contention. But now, back in a much easier spot at Georgia Southern, I feel like he's going to take off and really challenge to win for that conference.
Yeah, this conference is pretty stacked in terms of coaches and skill. I think you hit it. I mean, Big Red is probably one of the best in this conference. Jason is a very consistent, methodical player, and I think he'll be fighting for the East over there. I'm glad you mentioned Dealer. You kind of stole my thunder. That was one guy that I wanted to talk about. He had Miami last version throughout all seasons. Obviously was not able to keep them and is on to Arkansas State, but he's been a team that is winning some games. And I haven't looked at Arkansas State's roster in this year's game, but if I remember last year, They, for some reason, just had a really good offensive line. I don't know if that's still the case, that they have a lot of really good offensive line and players. But, yeah, that's a team that I'm looking out for. And then Ninja Nano is one of the quietest skilled players in this league. He had me in hell last year in the Beefy Cup, playing Wisconsin versus Louisiana. It was a very close game. And then I've heard good things about South Alabama with Sinister as well, scoring a lot of points. I think Andy keeps saying that, you know, he put up 38 on him recently with South Alabama. I don't know if that was him or not. I think it was, but he's a player that I'm keeping an eye on. And then the Marshall Thundering Herd are kind of my dark horse as well. I was able to play Finesse in that tournament, and if it wasn't for some home field advantage and just Heisman ratings, he was playing a very good game. I want to say we were tied at 14 at half. My defense was able to shut him out in the second half, but very, very good player. I think in the past, this has been the conference where, you know, a lot of new coaches come in or a lot of bottom of the draft guys are at, but that is not the case here. I think this is a very strong Group of Five conference, and I would not be surprised. Because to make the playoff in the Group of Five, you have to go undefeated, unless maybe you're Boise State. But even at that point, you have to go 11-1 if you're Boise State, which is very, very tough to do in this league. So would not be surprised to see a guy like Big Red go 12 or 13-0, maybe Ninja Nano as well this next season. Even Dealer. I know these guys will all play each other and there's going to be some cannibalization. But yeah, I think you may see a Sun Belt team in the playoff, whether it's not this season, sometime again in the next few seasons. So,
well, this is the conference that really won't really cannibalize each other because they really just play their division, and the fact that it's six or seven teams in each division, they really play division games. They may have one or two out of division games, so that cross division matchups won't be as persistent as the other conferences who got rid of divisions. Yeah. So that's why I highlighted some of the coaches, because it's either, like you say, you go undefeated and it's no doubt, you leave no doubt, or you have a very, very strong conference. And you have about four or five teams at the end, and some of those games become quad one games at the end for all those future committee members. That's a thing. And the fact that they're about four or five deep as far as coach-wise, as far as user-wise, that gives them a great shot to get the G5 qualifier.
Yeah, you make a good point about the divisions. I still think interdivision, you know, Big Red beats Jason, but then Jason beats Finesse, but then Finesse beats Big Red, right? Like, there could be some stuff like that. Yeah, that happens, yeah, especially on the West side too. I mean, you got, you know, Dealer, Ninja Nano, Sinister, Randog, who's been around on that team for a long time. So yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, I think one season we saw two teams that were 12-0 on each side, which was crazy, and then the winner going on to the playoff, which was the Raging Cajuns. So yeah, that's the Sun Belt Conference. So Vic, let's recap and go through our conferences and kind of do what we did last show and just pick out, you know, who do you got in the conference championship game and who do you got winning it. So we'll start back with the American Conference. I'll get us started. I think that conference championship game is going to be, give me D. Kane versus Shoddy. I'm going to go, that's my conference championship game, and I'm going to go with D. Kane winning this conference.
I'll go Jokers versus D. Kane, and I'm going to go with Coach Jokers.
All right, I like it, I like it. We'll go on to Conference USA. I'm going to go with, I'll go with Louisiana Tech in Miros. Will end up taking on Sam Houston State and Addy Lopes. And I'm going to go with Miros at Louisiana Tech winning this conference.
I'm going to go with Miros at Louisiana Tech, alma mater. And I'm gonna agree with you. I'm gonna go with Addie Lopes at Sam Houston State.
Yep.
We won't pick FBS Independence. We don't have a conference championship.
We got
there.
Notre Dame. Notre Dame.
I'm gonna say Notre Dame is going to miss the playoffs this year. Tough schedule.
Being that I played them, they're going to make the playoffs.
Hey, they got a lot of tough games. So we'll go to the MAC. That's the next one. I'm not going to go out with any surprise picks here. I'm going to go with Central Michigan winning this conference championship game. And I'm going to go with Eastern Michigan as the other team that's in that conference championship game. A little Central versus Eastern rivalry in that final game. And, yeah, I'm going to go with Central.
I'm going to mix it up here. I'm going to go NIU and Central Michigan. And, of course, I got Dr. Bush taking the MAC once again.
Yep. He's got the monopoly on the MAC. We'll move on to the Mountain West. I'm just going to say, based on pure ratings and, like you said, being like 8 to 10 points higher, I'm going to go with Boise State in the conference championship game. The other team I'm going to predict to be in the conference championship game is Nevada. I think he's going to have a great season, but I am going to go with the ratings. I think Boise State wins this conference championship.
I got the same. I got Boise and I got Nevada, and Nevada has no shot against Boise. It is Boise's to lose, basically, in that whole conference.
I do want to say I want to see Bierkop at Colorado State or Jeff Daddy in a conference championship game. So I am pulling for those two guys as well.
Oh, I do too, and Waffles. I want them all in there. I want them all in there. Me too. I love to see that.
Yeah. So last, we'll go to the Sun Belt, the one we just talked about before the recap. I'm going to go with Jason. I'm going to go with Jason out of the East. I think he is going to pull off the upset against Georgia Southern. Big Red would be the next one that I would choose, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say Jason. And then on the other side, I am going to say it's Ninja Nano. He is a very good player. And then I'm going to go with Ninja Nano at Louisiana Raging Cajuns winning this conference.
I would be surprised if Jason takes the East, but since he crashed and burned so hard for me last year, I'm going to go with Big Red. There's nothing against Jason at all. It's just, you know, I don't want to do the same thing two times in a row. So I'm going to go Big Red and Georgia Southern versus Dealer in Arkansas State, and I got Georgia Southern taking it.
That's a good pick. Cannot go wrong there. I will say, you say he crashed and burned. I know he had a rough start to the season, but he did go 10-3. And actually, Jason has gone 10-3 the last three seasons, which is very quietly impressive that not many people realize.
He did, but why I say crash and burn, I had him in a playoff. I had him going to the playoff last year, and he lost the first game.
I also see that his thing says he has 6 conference championships, but I only see 2, so I don't know how that equates. But at any rate, yes, you're right. That does equate that, oh, hey, he's going to make the playoff and then loses his first game, which is pretty much a disqualifier as a G5 when you lose a game.
I'm basically not trying to jinx him. I'm not trying to jinx him.
The reverse jinx. I love it. I love it.
Yes.
Well, we are at the 54-minute mark, so pretty much the same we were earlier this week on the power conferences. So I'm glad we got this in, Vic. I will turn it over to you. Is there anything you want to say to kind of wrap up the G5/Outliers podcast for this week?
Uh-oh.
Vic, you there?
You kind of cutting in and out. You kind of cutting in and out.
Can you hear me still? All right. Well, we'll call it there. I think I'm losing Vic. He says I'm cutting in and out. But thank you all for joining us for the Group of Five podcast. Just
I got you now. You good?
Oh,
now.
you got me back. Okay.
You good now. Yeah,
all right. Technical difficulties. I said, Vic, what do you want to talk about here? Just to kind of wrap up the show. What are some final words that you have for us?
Final words I have. It's going to be real competitive in the G5. Like you said, the teams we highlighted, those are going to be the teams in the end. I think it's a battle between the American and the Sun Belt to determine the G5 spot. And also, I want to shed light. You may have heard stuff in my background in this pod. I'm currently in the hospital. I'm in the hospital room with my sister right now. Those in the media know, but since I'm about to say it now, everybody's about to know. My sister had spinal cord surgery Tuesday. They found a tumor in her spinal cord area, so she had to get neck fusion surgery. They called it another word, but I can't pronounce it because it's all medical. But to basically sum it up, she had to do neck fusion surgery so they can take out the tumor, and they had to fuse her neck afterwards, her C4 and C5, and her neck got fused. They were able to take out the tumor, so everything was a success there. But she's definitely going through it right now. And, you know, being the big brother, because she is younger than me, you know, I got to be here for her. So that's what, if you hear noises, be like, oh, what the hell is that? That's what it is. It's just the noises around me in the hospital.
Well, Vic, I think I speak for the entire NDL. You know, our thoughts and prayers are with you as she recovers. We are super grateful that it was a successful surgery and that the path to recovery is starting. I hope we were able to get your mind off of things tonight, talking NDL. So, you know, when you told me where you were tonight, I was kind of like, are you sure you want to? Are you sure, you know, you can, you know, be with your sister? But I think if anything, this may have been therapy for you and for myself too. I've been having kind of a rough go of it at work with some employee turnover, but always great to just escape the real world, talk about the NDL and the virtual gridiron, as Jason calls it. So yeah, just really an honor, Vic, to chat with you tonight and talk about the NDL and get our minds off of things. So
it's been great to chat with you, and all you guys in the NDL have taken my mind off of it. Cause it's pretty difficult to go through. Like I said, you certain things I've said, I've told you and told other people, like it's difficult, but yep. You know, talking about the NDL, Power 4, G5, it really has done wonders for me in my mental space. So I appreciate all of y'all in the NDL. Trust me.
Yeah. There's one thing I can say at the end of the show for new, old, anybody. This is truly a community of upstanding people, right, of great people. And we hope that, obviously, you immerse yourself into the culture because – you know, we support each other, and you know, like you said, Vic, it's good to chat with guys about football, about video games, whatever it may be, pop culture, whatever it is. So strong community, love you guys, love being part of this, and yeah, on that I will sign off. So thank you all for listening. Some great content here for you going into the weekend. Get your polls in. Don't forget about that. Get those in. Do not miss out on early points. It's hard to make those up with recaps. It takes a lot of recaps to make up for a missed bowl. I learned that the hard way last season. So get those in and be ready for some exciting content, media picking up, and then the season starting hopefully very soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can't wait.